Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Last time we were in the book of Romans, and we're going to pick up there right now. I direct your attention to Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12 with me, if you would. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. The Word of God has this to say. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Notice that the spiritual gifts in these verses do not include unknown tongues. Rather than being the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, tongues, unknown or not, didn't even make the list. Amen. And of course, that's what some teach. Speaking in gibberish is initial evidence that you've been baptized by the Holy Ghost. And of course, we know that scriptures do not teach that. The scriptures tell us very plainly, the instant, the moment you believe on Lord Jesus Christ and you receive his blood atonement, amen, as your payment for sins past, present, and future to secure your home in heaven, that's when you're baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. Alrighty, we're in Matthew chapter 12. And I like us to look at verse number 21. The Word of God says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's not enough that we stop doing evil things. We must replace evil with good, lest we slip back into the old ways. It's not enough to not take vengeance on an enemy. We must find ways to show kindness to them and bless them. Now, I want us to notice what the Word of God has to say in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, in verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44, the Word of God says this. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All right, let's turn our attention now. We'll go to the next chapter, Romans, chapter 13. And let's look at verses 1 through 6 together. The Word of God says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon the very thing. Though not the only Bible passage on submitting to authorities, It's probably the most commonly used one. The Bible rule is simple. God's people must submit to the powers that be unless the powers that be require us to disobey God. Now, I want us to look at some other references to go along with this. And first, I'd have us to go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. And when you get to Exodus chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 17. The Word of God says this. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children alive. And of course, the king of Egypt had given the order to kill children of a certain age, Hebrew children. But the midwives, they feared God. They disobeyed the king of Egypt. Amen. And in this case, they would be disobeying God, so they disobeyed the authority at the time, the king of Egypt. Now also, we need to turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 5 with me. In verse number 29, in the Word of God says there in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And of course, the context was that Peter and the other apostles were preaching the gospel. Amen. And they were arrested and beaten. Because they were doing what God wanted them to do. And Peter says quite honestly, and the other apostles to the authority at the time, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. And then notice with me, we need to look at 1 Peter. We need to look at 1 Peter with me. In 1 Peter... look at chapter 2 in verses 13 through 17. Notice what the Word of God has to say here. We read, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that we will that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And of course, again, the Bible rule is, we should submit to the powers to be unless the powers to be require us to disobey God. Amen. Now, we're in Romans 13. Let's focus in on verse 4 for a moment. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute judgment upon him that doeth evil. Now, so what we're here talking about here is capital punishment. Capital punishment is God's law throughout the Bible. Not just under the law of Moses. It was the law, capital punishment was the law, before the law of Moses in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, under the law of Moses, Exodus 21, verse 12, and Numbers 35. And it's God's law after the law of Moses, as we just see here in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, and then in Acts chapter 25, verse number 11. Let's continue in the book of Romans as we're doing a study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Verse number 10 of Romans chapter 14. Notice with me, if you would, what it says. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the term judgment seat of Christ is used twice in the Bible here. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Both places refer not to a general judgment for both saved and lost, but rather to a special judgment for saved people only. Notice also that when a man stands at the judgment seat of Christ, verse 10, he is also giving an account to God. Amen. Verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Jesus is God. Amen? Alrighty, let's look at Romans. We're still in Romans 14. Let's drop down to verse 17. The Word of God says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom, or at least not yet. Notice also the proper order of God's kingdom, an order that the world can never seem to comprehend. Righteousness, then peace, then joy. If you skip the righteousness, then you can't have peace. And you can't have joy without peace. So everything, my dear listener, rests on righteousness. A state that one cannot obtain without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we go back to Romans 10. Look at in verses 3 and 4. We read, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's what religious people do. They go to establish their own righteousness. Amen. They think they can establish their own righteousness by their commandments and their traditions. But we're told here in Romans 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth on Christ. You want God, get the righteousness of God, then you need to believe on his Son, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 14 and drop down and look at verse number 23. The Word of God has this to say, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The damnation here is not eternal damnation in hell, but rather damnation in the flesh. Amen? We also need to look at 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in chapter 11, we want to look at verses 29 to 32. Notice what the Word of God here has to say. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now also, we need to look at verses 30 to 32 as well, which say this. 30 says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge not ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So, of course, this is talking about the Lord's Supper. Amen. You're not doing it in faith. You're doing it unworthily. Then there are consequences. Amen. There's a damnation in the flesh. Amen. Now, we're going back to the book of Romans, and we want this time, look at the last chapter, number 5. Romans 16, verse 5, the Word of God says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia under Christ. So we want to see here is a church is not a building, because a church is the people in the building, or in this case, the people in the house. Amen. The early church had a church in the house, people's homes. Look at Romans chapter 16 with me. Romans chapter 16. And what we see in Romans chapter 16. It says in verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And of course, here we have in this verse a favorite proof text for the Campbellites, or the Church of Christ. According to them, the name Church of Christ is the only scriptural name for a church, even though the term here is Churches of Christ, plural, and it isn't used as a title or name, only a description. Amen. Now look at in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. We read this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. Though it is perfectly proper to respect everyone's right to have and practice their own religious persuasion, it is not proper to respect the religion itself. You see, my dear listeners, the devil majors in confusing people on this point by spewing out such foolishness as we're not supposed to judge others and we should respect everyone's religion. No, we should respect everyone's right to have and practice their religion as long as they don't cause harm to others. But all false religions are to be marked and avoided and not respected. Now in Romans 16, verse 20, let's read verse 20 of Romans 16. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So Satan was not bruised under Jesus' feet at Calvary, or at least not completely. This will not happen until the second coming. Amen. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. In verse number 8, we read this. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? This is a great eternal security promise for all believers. It doesn't say that they will be damned if we fail to endure to the end. It says that God will confirm us until the end. Now let's look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we read this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So much for the celebrity preachers who seek the praise of men. If you preach like you are supposed to, you will be thought a fool. Amen. Look at it, verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Similar to the verse we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18, preaching is viewed by the world as being foolish, and even by many Christians. Amen. Now, verse 22 of Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, we read this. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. We see here, it says, the Jews do not request a sign. As the new perversions say, they require a sign. That is, by nature, is part of their national and racial heritage. They require a sign. We see that Israel begins with signs in Exodus chapter 4, the different signs that he gives to Moses so the people will believe that God has sent them. And God gives them a sign all throughout the Old Testament. In Psalm 74, verse 9, they even say, we will not see our signs. Amen. Also, we need to look at the Gospel of Luke with me in Luke 21, verse 7. Luke 21, verse 7, we read this, Word of God says, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Again, the Jews are asking him for a sign. One of these things you're talking about are going to come to pass. Also, John. Let's look at John chapter 2 and verse number 18. We read this. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? So we see, over and over again, you go through, you read the gospel accounts. Jews are asking for a sign from Jesus. Because, as we just read, the Jews require a sign. The nation of Israel began with a sign there in Exodus chapter 4. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verses 14 and 15. Notice what the Word of God says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So the natural man lives only in the physical and carnal realm. So he never has to discern between flesh and spirit. Consequently, he likes going around and saying that it's wrong to judge. But verse 15, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, makes it clear that that Christians must judge. There's no way to serve God without it. We should not seek to judge people unnecessarily and condemn them. A rush to judgment, but judgment between good and evil is necessary daily. Amen. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me, if you would. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look together at the first seven verses. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, Christians who play campground Christianity or clubhouse Christianity are babes, according to the Bible. Preachers are only ministers by whom we believe. They deserve our respect and gratitude, but they do not deserve our worship. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, we read this. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, in such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned. But he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is one of the best eternal security passages in the New Testament. One would think that Paul would write such a sinner off as a lost and condemned man. But he counted him a Christian in need of chastising and not a sinner in need of hell. Amen. So, as we continue our study here, we've been looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible here. And we're just about running out of time. And I wanted to tell listeners that once we get through with the study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, this study is going to be available to each and every one of you who would like it. All you will have to do is drop me a line requesting it at the address given at the end of the broadcast. And I really would love to hear from my listeners. I know I have some very faithful ones out there, to drop me a line and tell me how you like the pastor's study, if you don't like it, or is it something you'd like to have discussed, or a question you have about the Bible like you have discussed in the pastor's study. And then again, as I've said in the past, I invite you to visit my website, All the Counsel of God, allthecounselofgod.com. Run that whole phrase together, no spaces, and there's a lot of great Bible studies, audio written for you to enjoy and to use as you see fit. Thank you once again for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.